We will ensure that we have the strategy and resources to succeed against Al-Qaeda and the Taliban. As Bob said not too long ago, Afghanistan is where the war on terror began, and it is where it must end.
For you careful readers of the New York Times, Bob is Bob Gates, of course, and that is President-elect Barack Obama at a news conference yesterday in Chicago announcing his national security team, including the fact that Bob Gates, as we all knew, will be staying on as Secretary of Defense. He also introduced Hillary Clinton as the designate for Secretary of State and Susan Rice as the designate for the UN ambassador. And as the President-elect said in that sentence there, in that statement about Bob Gates, the item one on the security agenda is dealing with the situation in Afghanistan. Proposition: Afghanistan is where the war on terror began, and it is where it must end. To probe the truth value of that proposition is Michael Gordon, military correspondent for the New York Times and co-author of the book Cobra 2, The Inside Story of the Invasion and Occupation of Iraq. Michael Gordon, thanks for being with us.
Glad to be here.
Now, all through the campaign, we heard this proposition that we overreached in Iraq and what we should have done was gone into Afghanistan and maybe focused our efforts there. If we do now focus our efforts in Afghanistan, is it as simple as a smaller scale surge to achieve the kind of result in Afghanistan that apparently has been achieved guardedly in some areas in Iraq?
Well, actually, one of the ironies is that Afghanistan is really more complicated than Iraq. And Iraq was a bigger war in the sense of U.S. force commitments and initially U.S. casualties. But within the U.S. government, the people I've talked to work this issue say the Afghan war is really the harder war.
And I guess the question is, what is the mission in Afghanistan? If the mission is to neutralize Al-Qaeda, perhaps another irony is that, you know, that job maybe is accomplished to the extent that another 9/11 can't happen. What's the argument for just withdrawing from Afghanistan?
Well, the way I look at it, the Democrats certainly took the position, I think partly for political reasons, that the Central Front was in Afghanistan and not Iraq. But I think really if there is a Central Front in the war on terrorism, it's really in Pakistan. Not Afghanistan. But what happens in Afghanistan has an important bearing on the threat in Pakistan. I mean, these groups that are thought to have conducted the attacks in Mumbai very likely trained in the lawless areas in Pakistan that adjoin Afghanistan. So the thinking is if you want to put pressure on Al-Qaeda, which is believed to be primarily in Pakistan, not Afghanistan, you certainly need to gain control over Afghanistan and certainly blunt and, if not defeat, the Taliban insurgency in Afghanistan.
So if the way to have influence in Pakistan is to stabilize Afghanistan, how difficult of a job militarily is that?
Well, it's very difficult for a number of reasons. I'm not saying it's impossible. The military people I've talked to who are involved in this think it's possible. We certainly have not made to date a major troop commitment, but it's difficult for a number of reasons. First off, if you think about Iraq, when we did the surge in Iraq, really the fight was focused, and I was there for a lot of it, in and around Baghdad. So we put five brigade combat teams in and around Baghdad, and that had a big effect, particularly since Al-Qaeda of Iraq, which took its inspiration from Al-Qaeda Central, was focusing on Baghdad. Well, in Afghanistan, the insurgency is much more dispersed, and it's really rural-based, not urban-based. And then a couple of other really big differences is the insurgents in Afghanistan have a sanctuary in Pakistan, which they access rather freely. You don't have that in Iraq. And in Iraq, you know, we had the Iraqi security forces as an ally, and I've been with them. They have their strengths and weaknesses, but there sure are a lot of them. When the surge began, there were 300,000 Iraqi army and police, and now they're more than 500,000. In Afghanistan, the Iraqi army, the Afghan National Army is almost 70,000. The police aren't very good. They want to grow the Afghan army to 134,000, and the current plan is that that's going to take about 5 years.
But even under that plan, Michael Gordon, isn't it the case that that force will operate almost exclusively around Kabul, and because of their tribal affiliations, is probably not even useful logistically in the rural areas?
Well, I think they're hoping to partner with them the way they did in Iraq. I think they are going to try to carry over some lessons from Iraq, number one. Number two, they're looking, the U.S. military is looking to replicate in some way the ground-up local kind of initiatives that the Americans did in Iraq with the Sunni tribes. They don't want to reach out to the Afghan tribes per se, but they're hoping to create a community kind of based National Guard. You know, one also big difference is difficult as things are in terms of Iraqi politics. Iraq does have a tradition of a strong central government, certainly did under Saddam. And Afghanistan has nothing
does not,
like
right.
that. It's a different place altogether.
Well, very, very quickly, as we look at the strategy unfolding in the first few months of the Barack Obama administration, where do we look to see that this is really having an effect and is focusing on the real issues? Is it in Kandahar? Is it in Kabul? Is it more towards the Peshawar area, the Pakistani border?
The current plan is the Americans are going to nearly double their troops in Afghanistan from 34,000 to 58,000. They're going to put one brigade in the east and the remainder of the three combat brigades and one aviation brigade in the south and southwest and try to protect the population there. So certainly those are the areas to look. They're the main combat zones. But we're really talking about a protracted war here. We're not talking about something that's going to be turned around in a year or so.
And a protracted war that the administration probably hopes doesn't get cast as a quagmire. Michael Gordon, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Michael Gordon is military correspondent for The New York Times. He spoke with us from Virginia.
I'm David Remnick, host of The New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.